Hello there, my name is Corey, and I am a Star War.
Oh, well, my name is also Corey, and I am a Star War.
And my name is Jim, and I am a Star War.
And we are a Star War. Thank you guys for joining in with us. It's been way too long since we've been in your presence, and since we have graced your air holes.
My bad.
November was the last time I believe we did episodes 4 through 6 of Andor. And
Andor.
Yeah. Just brief recap of what had happened was, and why we had such a hiatus, was Corey Martin was a little injured, correct?
I had the scientific term is broke neck.
Broke neck.
He was on Broke Neck Mountain.
I had broke neck, and there was a woman named Dana in Delaware who was in charge of fixing it, so it took 6 months. My bad.
Well, we're glad you're here.
We're glad
here
you're
I
here.
Am.
You were down for the count for a
none
while.
None the wiser. Standing upright. Thank you.
We're glad that you are mobile. Jimmy was in South America for like 5 weeks.
He was
working.
He was.
By the time Corey got well enough to do this, and then we've just been busy. So, and we could record online, but we don't want to.
Yeah, this is really just an excuse for all of us to hang out.
You lose the magic. And there's magic.
There is magic. So, I mean, let's get into it. We're going to cover 6 episodes of Andor so that we can... We're going to do a few mini episodes, right?
I just want to go ahead and say that that's... as dense as that show is, that's a lot of Star Wars to talk about in 40 minutes. But
no,
I think we can do it.
Fine.
Oh, we're going to skim.
That's a lot. Like, because having rewatched it in the last 2 days, that's a very dense show.
True, but I think that if we just hit our personal highlights, we're going to cover a great deal of it.
Yes. I mean, we're not going to go in depth, because
we're not going to do scene breakdowns.
I mean, we can.
That was all my notes.
We
Damn
can.
It.
Listen,
I have a complete transcript I was planning to read in real time.
We're not going
to
do the teleplay.
we're going to try to cover 6 episodes in this one episode so that we can be ready when Ahsoka releases later in August, correct?
Yeah, we're just going to skip over Mandalorian season 3.
No, we'll come back to it. Listen, we don't have rules on this podcast.
There are no rules.
We release when we can and when we want, because we do what we want.
Oh, there was a season 3 of Mandalorian.
There was a whole season of Mandalorian since we last got together.
It was good.
It was great.
It was so good.
We'll come back to that.
Oh, we'll come back to that.
All right,
okay.
So episode 7 of Andor was called The Announcement. I'll do some quick recaps of the episode. Excuse me, and then we each have a couple little notes we want to talk about. So, Andor goes back to visit Marva and Bix on Ferrix after the heist. He then gets caught by the Empire as a tourist, assuming the name of Keef, and is jailed for 6 years on charges of disruption and some other bullshit. Cyril gets a job working for his uncle and continues to be boring as shit. That was my note. And then Jim said, we're going to fight about this.
We are.
So, Corey, why don't you read your note, and then Jim, you can read yours instead of me reading y'all's shit.
So, Mon Mothra. That is not her name. She's raising money to build the rebellion. And I feel like that part of this show, like, could be its own show. Like, the actual, like, nuts and bolts. How did...
It's pretty interesting.
I think that stuff's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's, like, a big unsung... As much as we love this show, and we fucking love this show, and we should. But there's a part of it where, like, this... We all want to know what Leia's doing. Like, to me, the whole time, I'm like, this is when Leia is really, like, moving and shaking, but we can't, because it would be sacrilegious to replace Carrie Fisher.
Which is why we have Clea.
Yeah, so we have, like, this other teen, and we're like, this is Chaya, and she'll
Her
be important.
Her name is Layla, right?
I don't know that that's true. I can't vouch for that.
I think it's Clea.
Oh, okay.
As in Playa.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, though, about your note is a lot of the show, a lot of the Andor first season is anchored around financing, right? There's the big, you know, bank payroll heist. You know, Mon Mothma's got a 400,000 credit hole in her ledger that she's got to cover because the Empire is going to find out that she's doing stuff.
Yeah.
Money is so pedestrian compared to force magic. Like, it's so grounded. Like, so much of the drama in this show is grounded in something that is very real in our world.
Yeah.
And I just think that helps pull this show together in a more interesting way.
And it's also like that on both sides, because if you're working for the Empire and you maybe want to gussy up your uniform a little bit, maybe that ruffles some feathers. But you're also trying to get things done on your side because you believe in your cause, just like Cyril.
Old Cyril.
Fighting with his mama.
We're going to talk about that.
We'll talk.
Raggedy ass old woman. She gets on my nerves.
She's so funny.
She's so mean.
So, Jimmy, you basically covered your notes right there, right, Corey?
I think so, yeah.
Right. Yes, sir.
Jimmy, you're up.
All right. So my note says the conversation between Cyril and his mother about the length of his collar is a masterstroke in exposition. The following scene starts with Deidre putting her ISB tunic on with a close-up shot of her collar. Cyril hasn't met Deidre yet, and they're already connecting him to her. The reason why I like the storyline with his mom is, who the hell is this Cyril guy? Right? Like, why is he interesting? Why do we want to watch him? Like, why do we want to watch this Empire wannabe guy? And then he has to go home and stay with his mom, and like, just the back and forth between the two of them. And she's horrible. She's a horrible person, but she's like the middle tier of what it's like to live on Coruscant, right? She lives in the shadows. She doesn't live high enough to actually have sunshine. But she's playing the game that they're playing upstairs. And I just find that really interesting. And he's aspirational for being upstairs and being higher up in the Empire, but he's stuck here with her. And some of the most interesting bits about his character come from his conversations with her, like the whole collar scene where she says, "Your collar's too tall." It says a lot. And they're arguing. And he says, "What does my collar say?" Right.
And like, she's like, "Look at me."
Right. It's and they just keep going back and forth. It says, "Look at me. You know, I have no confidence." And then they cut to Deidre putting on her high collar, and like, mom doesn't get it at all. And I find that interesting. I find that I really like that execution.
His mom is mean, though.
She's very mean. She should be mean. I mean, Cyril's an asshole.
She stay mean. Yeah.
All right. So episode 8, and we're just going to go over these real quick. We can circle back and talk about things once we kind of recap. So Deidre tells Cyril to quit submitting queries about Cassian, but she goes to her bosses with info about him and quote-unquote Axis, and knows that they are up to some shit. Cassian gets to the prison. The troops are all up in Ferrix after Pack is detained. The radio that Bix used in this episode was on his property. They notice Bix and walk toward him, and she takes off in the streets. Luthen meets with Saw Gerrera. Luthen wants Saw to work with Krieger. Never really meet Krieger.
Which is brilliant.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bix gets caught, and she's brought in to be questioned by Deidre. She sees them dragging Pack out of the room, and he looks pretty fucked up. Corey, I didn't see any notes from... Wait, hold on. I didn't see any notes from you on that one.
I didn't add any notes to this one.
Jimmy has
notes. Did you have anything to add to it? Did you watch it?
I mean, that's pretty much everything that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we ended the last episode without really saying that, like, he got arrested and sent to prison. But that happened also.
And that's, I mean, that's kind of plotty, but, like, what, you know.
I really feel like this show was, like, 4 movies.
I agree with that. And they're embracing that in the second season, because they're covering 5 years in the second season. And so I'm like, okay, if it's 12 episodes, that's going to be, you know, 4 3 episode movies.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but we're on this season.
But we had Andor, and then we had Andor part 2, the heist.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Andor, the prison years is the third movie. And it's fucking good. All 3 of them, like, all 4 of the movies are great movies, but we got them as a TV show. That's just my opinion.
I'm here for it.
Jimmy, notes.
The only note that I mean, there's so much more to say about each one of these episodes, but I was taken by watching Cassian as he's being in processed at the prison. And I was like, this guy is noting every exit, every window, every security issue, every potential. He's scared. He's not only scared though. He's scared, but he is accurately observing everything that he sees because he's not going to stay there. And that sense of survival is, I think, core to the character. And it's something that they've shown us, you know, he's throughout the whole season up to this point, and like ignoring what we know about Rogue One, like his ability to understand the moment is really, really just core to his character. And so rewatching that scene when he's being in processed, I was like, oh, he's not just scared. He's looking at every single nook and cranny and putting that in his memory because he's going to use it at some point. And I that was very, very cool to see.
Yeah. And he seems like the only person in the prison who realizes what's happening. Like everyone else kind of seems to think like, oh, I'm in for whatever 6 months and then I'm out. But he's like, no, this is,
well, and part of that's got to be something here. And part of that's got to be because he is going in for literally not doing anything wrong. This is the guy that got away with the money from the Aldani heist, and they've got him picked up for jaywalking.
Yeah.
To the beach bar to get some peanuts for his girlfriend.
Asking questions or not asking questions.
They make it a point to say, this used to be 6 months, now it's 6 years.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, there's some shady shit happening.
So how much of what's happening to the Empire in this show is also reflective of like them trying to give us warnings about what's happening in America right now?
You know, I certainly we can't,
as far as like falling into fascism and we do this and then the sentences get a little harsher and then the criminals get a little whatever. And then like it's the Empire.
I know that if you listen to Tony Gilroy's talked a little bit on a couple of other podcasts about where they were drawing inspiration for part of the show. And it wasn't present day, but it was, you know, Russian revolutions and like how Stalin and Lenin came to power and how they were, you know, pulling off big heists to get money to finance their revolutions.
Portion of the wave. Yeah.
You should listen to that. It's interesting. It's
fascinating. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So episode 9, this one is called Nobody's Listening. I've got a fuck ton of notes in the recap. Just my notes are basically a recap of what happened, where Jimmy is like smart about filmmaking and stuff. but a lot of shit happened here. I apologize in advance. So it starts off with Deidre is questioning Bix. Deidre gets nothing out of her and leaves her with the doctor for his questioning, which is where the torture shit comes in. The torturer uses a recording of children screaming in anguish. Oh, one of y'all added this. As they watch their species being wiped out by the Empire. That's hardcore.
Yeah, that was me. So, like, I picked up on that on, like, the third viewing. Like, they were like, oh, that little doctor that gets put in charge of torture.
And he's so excited about it.
He's like, oh, there's this, like, we were wiping out this planet. And we recorded these children crying, and it turns out that really, like...
And we just layered it and layered it.
It just messes with people's heads, so, like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
We found this thing.
That doctor's like the Skrillex of the Empire.
So...
It's bizarre.
Andor leaves his post to go file away at the water pipe in the wall. Andor and another dude start taking notice of the things when a new prisoner is brought in, and they start planning an escape. Cassian asks Kino questions about the number of guards and shit for escape purposes. Kino is not having any of it. Prisoners start talking about hearing news that a whole bridge was fried, probably 100 prisoners. And then the quote is they were making trouble. That's the kind of what they were whispering around the bridges and stuff. Mothma is trying to figure out ways to raise money for the rebellion. She's trying to access some of her family fortune. And Olaf has a stroke. The doctor can't do anything for him. He only had 40 shifts left, supposedly. Cassian asks the doctor about what happened to the men that got fried on level two. The doc tells Kino to keep his men in line. Then Kino asks the doc what happened. The doc tells him that the Empire has no plans of letting anyone leave. As the guard comes back to make Kino and Cassian stand up and leave, Cassian asks Kino how many guards are on each level, and Kino says never more than 12. And this is after Cassian's been able to get basically zero info out of him. And now Kino's like, all right.
He knows it's real.
It's time.
Yeah.
He knows he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because he only had...
Because he's a prisoner too.
50 or 60 days shifts left, right?
Kino had a couple hundred.
Okay, I thought it got down.
It was the Olaf's character was the one that was closest to getting
You're right. So yeah, that was pretty heavy. That's when you're like, okay, well, shit's fixing to pop off, right?
Well, and what I really liked about it is it's all about that. I mean, that arc of that episode, the prison arc of that episode, is all about Kino coming around. I mean, you got to win him over. You can't bust out of prison without him helping or being a part of it. And it's not like Andor could figure that out. Cassian couldn't figure that out. He was trying. He was going straight at him. It took, you know, Olaf dying for the truth to come. The truth that Cassian and the other guys were suspicious of, which was that something was going on. There was some kind of, you know, bullshit being pulled by the Empire here. But to see Olaf die in front of him and to get the information from the doctor about what happened on level two, that made it through. And the way that they play the whole Cassian asking him how many guards are there on every level over and over and over and over and over and over in the episode. And then the last thing you hear in that episode is how many guards on each level, never more than 12. And then that's the end. That was brilliant.
Yeah. You've got another note there. Do you want to read that?
Well, that was going back to the Bix being tortured thing. The first time I saw that, I was completely blown away by it, because there's just a sequence of shots that go from her torture into the next scene that always kind of took me by surprise, because it's so overwhelming. And I think it's, you know, it's clearly it's done on purpose, because she's getting this torture that's unimaginable, right? She's it's overwhelming, and we don't get to hear what it is. And then rewatching it in prep for this podcast, if you watch her put the headphones on, like when they put the headphones on her and they start it, all the sound kind of drops out and the camera pans around her, like from the device around to her face on this tight, tight close-up shot of her eyes. And she looks at the camera. She breaks the fourth wall and is looking into the camera, looking at us, watching her, which is unnerving, because I don't know that they've ever done that in Star Wars before. Mm-mm. She breaks the fourth wall. She's looking at us. We don't really hear what's happening, right? All you hear is her breathing. And it's so tight on her. And then she lets out this big scream, but they immediately cut to a door closing, you know, Deidre taking two steps down the hallway. And then they smash cut into the prison and the screaming sound of one of the drills. And it's just overwhelming. And I think the most unnerving part of that transition is the way Deidre breaks the fourth wall and looks at us and is like, you're doing this.
Yeah.
I just love that sequence.
There's so much torture in Star Wars.
There really is. But this was one of the hardest ones to watch, though, because of the way they put it together.
Yeah, but it's like we're going to use like all scientific advancements to figure out the best way to hurt you.
At least we didn't have to listen to them kids scream.
Right.
Yeah.
So episode 10 is called One Way Out. There's a lot of notes here, too. My bad. Jimmy's editing our document. I can see it happening.
No, I'm not. I'm scrolling.
Cassian tells Kino that they have to leave tomorrow. Cassian says that they don't have enough guards. He then explains that his plan works around the new man coming down, because Olaf died, so they know there'll be a new guy coming in tomorrow. He tells the rest of their men that the doctor explained what happened on level two, and Kino tells them that no one is getting out. Cassian finally gets to that pipe to start leaking. Guards start to bring in the new guy to their floor. Cassian has that big ass wrench or whatever behind his head. And two guys cause a distraction as a guard comes down with the new prisoner, and Cassian jams the elevator. Shit starts popping off from there. Cassian and Kino get inside the main control center, and Kino announces to everyone that every floor is deactivated to get your ass out. They all start getting to the outside ledge, and Kino tells Cassian that he can't swim right as Cassian gets pushed off the ledge. Luthen has a meeting with Lonnie and his mole inside the Empire. Or Lonnie is his mole inside the Empire. Lonnie tells him about Deidre, and Lonnie's trying to get out of this position because he's got a new kid. He's a father, blah, blah, blah. Cassian and Melshi are running on dry land as the episode ends.
Let's talk about that Luthen monologue, though. What between him and Lonnie?
Yes.
Right? Like, Lonnie's like, you know, he's the guy on the inside. He's the guy literally sitting in those horrible meetings with the ISB. And he's just, he's a mole. He's an asset. He's embedded. He's a spy on the inside, right? He's got everything to lose. And now he's been there so long that now he's got a family and a kid and a change of heart. And he has so much to lose personally. And he asks Luthen, what do you have to lose? And then Luthen just lays out one of the best Star Wars monologues in the history of Star Wars.
Yeah. One of the most like humanizing and like you've for once realized like what it means to what it costs a person to be a part of this. Yeah.
It's
awesome.
It's absolutely incredible. And it reminds me like this show in particular reminds me at times of Deadwood. Because they're like the way that they use dialogue in Deadwood was just not natural, but it worked.
Yeah.
It was so Shakespearean and like characters could monologue and it just worked. There are several monologues throughout the show and they just work. It just absolutely fits. And Luthen talking about being burdened and cursed to use the tools of his enemies against them, like I don't want to keep saying it's amazing, but it's amazing.
It is a Star War.
It is. It's
such a Star
really
War.
Good Star War.
You did have one other note there.
I was just going to say that the very first time that I saw this episode, I've seen this one several times now. The pacing behind the prison break is so powerful and fast that the fact that they make it to the top and folks are just jumping to their freedom to get out of the prison. And Kino realizes that he can't go any further. And Cassian has no chance to even argue with the moment. He can't even stop to, I'll help you. You know, I'll help. It just the whole circumstance overtakes him. He's swept off the edge. And Kino is stuck on the prison. It's heartbreaking. And the perfect end to that character. It's the perfect end. I want to hear what Jamie thinks may have happened. Oh, no.
Megan said that.
That's right. Kylie's got a friend of ours has a whole theory about what Kino's doing.
Yeah, I kind of wondered like if he made it off or what.
I don't know that he made it off. I think the implication is that he's never leaving that prison.
But you have to figure most of the imps on board the prison are killed by the rioting escapees. So maybe he's just in charge now.
Maybe.
I guess he grows up to be Snoke.
Maybe. Maybe he's...
right?
Somehow.
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 Episode Fuck. 11.
Fuck a somehow.
daughters of Ferrix. Marva is dead, right?
Right.
Right.
Yep. More folks are questioning Bix. They show a hologram of Krieger and ask if she introduced him to Cassian. Luthen and Saul meet to discuss teaming with Krieger. Saul knows that Luthen knows that Krieger and his men will die. Cassian tries to radio in a message to Marva that he is okay. And then Cassian finds out that Marva is dead. Jim, you are the only one that has notes on this.
I closed my document because it was acting hinky. Let me open it back up. Stand by.
It's still doing it. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's weird. We got like speech to text going on here. Anyway, the POV of B, the droid, like when they cut to Ferrick at Marva's place, you're in, like, they don't cut to a wide shot. They don't cut to the living room. They don't cut to the spaceport. They cut to this weird, tight close-up from the droid's perspective. And, like, there's this, you know, glass of tea sitting on top of the droid, but you don't know that it's a glass of tea yet. All you see is these, you know, ribbons of brown fluid inside clear fluid. And you hear the voices of everybody talking in the room. And they're giving you the point of view of the droid mourning the loss of Marva. And, you know, droids in the Star Wars universe are very important. And are they sentient and do they have feelings?
I think that's a very important topic that maybe should be discussed.
But that scene, that droid is mourning the loss of Marva, and they start the scene from B's perspective. And I think that's just worth pointing out that, again, I've never seen anybody do that in Star Wars before, where you're starting a scene from an emotional point of view from the droid.
I think that droid, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it was made to seem like the family dog. Because the way that they interacted with it all the time, like, you come with us, whatever, like, was, it always felt to me like it's the dog that they fucking loved. But this is just a dog that can talk. That's how it felt to me. And it, like, it wrecked me.
Yeah, because I mean, he's got separation anxiety in that scene in particular, because he doesn't want to be left alone.
I have droid issues, but I loved that droid.
I love that droid too. And he's the
His exact, name is B2 Emo.
Well, there
That's
you go.
Why you love
and
that
I love him. I love him. because sometimes he can't be too emo. And that's his name.
So episode 12.
I think 12, a lot of times you can be too emo.
The episode 12 is titled Rick's Road. The episode shows the funeral of Marva. I think these are all y'all's notes. I don't think I posted anything.
You didn't post any of this.
Which Dedra the imp uses as bait to try and capture Cassian Andor.
True. The star of the show. He's the star of the show.
Yeah. One of y'all said it reminded you of the Boston Massacre as portrayed in John Adams' HBO Ooh, show.
Yeah, that was me. Have you seen that show?
Mm-mm.
It's fine. It's pretty good. But like the Boston Massacre, this scene just felt the same to me, where it's like the people are ready for revolution, and so they're like kind of egging it on, and they're getting in the faces of the occupiers.
Right.
And they're like, I dare you to shoot at me. I dare you to kill me. I dare you to make me the first person to die for this cause. Like, and that's kind of how it is here. It's like the revolution, the rebellion is kicking off.
And the Imperial garrison there, they would have no problem just gunning everybody down.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for the fact that the ISB is looking for someone and is trying to create some facade of calm to allow Cassian to infiltrate his mother's funeral. That's the only reason why.
Right. At this point, they're wiping out other planets.
Yeah, they have no problem wiping out, you know, people that are pushing back.
And then using their children's screams
as torture
devices.
But you're right. I mean, in this one, it's very much got a powder keg vibe to it. I mean, it's going to pop off, and it does.
And when this came out last year, when it was, you know, like fresh in our heads as like BLM riots and all this kind of stuff. And so looking at this and seeing people rising up and like getting in the street, and you see the Empire lining up with their shields, and like it felt very like of the moment when it came out.
I want to know which one of you was a drunk and put that his name was Casserole.
I wish I could claim it. I didn't do that. I didn't type anything on this episode note.
A lot of times the autocorrect.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
That's true.
We'll talk to you and call people casserole.
Well, those are your notes. You read them.
What's that? On what?
You could write a pickup right after the John Adams HBO stuff on episode 12. All right. The crowd is on edge, having trouble living with the new Imperial garrison that has moved to town.
Yeah, so then the next thing was Mon Mothra, and she decides that she will sell her daughter into like child marriage so that she can get that gangster to give money to the rebellion. Like that happened.
That's not the only thing that she does in that episode.
It's a little icky, but yeah.
She sets her husband up to take the fall for the $400,000 hole in her ledger.
Talking about he's gambling again.
Because he's gambling. Like she directly sets him up. Like she didn't want to set her daughter up to meet dude's son and all that stuff. But like she had no problem.
He was kind of a jackass. I mean.
It was the top knot.
He was asking for it.
Right. So, Andor makes his way back to Luthen's ship there at the end, and they can't decide what they're going to do. And then I think Luthen realizes that Andor is a vital, because he was going to kill him, right?
He came there to kill him.
Everything about, like, post Ondani, the post the heist, they all want to kill Cassian because he's seen Luthen. He can. Absolutely say who Luthen is, and he's exposed Luthen, and if he hadn't gotten caught and sent to prison, you know, he probably would have been killed by Luthen or one of the other folks.
Yeah, and then we get the post-credit scene where we realize that they're working on the Death Star.
That was cool. That was fun.
I liked it. Yeah.
So we've gone through, we've recapped all of them. I mean, overall thoughts, we all like this show a whole lot.
Everyone likes this show. Like this is like universally people love Andor. Like
it's one of my favorites.
I mean, the way that you can look at Rogue One and say like, this is one of the best movies. Like Andor is in the same vein because it's same character, same time frame, whatever. Like if you like this approach, this is a different approach to the universe from the Mandalorian universe. It's a little less hokey, a little less silly. It's a lot more adult.
And it's completely, but it's in a different era of that galaxy, right? Like right. It's Mandalorians post Jedi, you know, the New Republic's in place, like, you know, the Empire's gone. The remnants of the Empire are now the rebels. They're the ones on the outskirts, you know, on the outside trying to, you know, make things happen in the shadows. This is what we grew up with. Like we grew up with the Empire in full force, like right. Strong and in charge. And this is, you know, the folks sneaking around cloak and dagger style, trying to find a way to stand up to the Empire. And that's, for me, that's pretty juicy.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It's of the like whole Star Wars Skywalker era, whatever you want to call it. Like that's one of the best things. Like how did people rise up from nothing and fight a galactic empire?
It wasn't just Luke.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was just Luke.
It wasn't just Luke.
He played a big part though.
Like he had a lot to do with
it. He did. Most of the work.
Like he did.
At the end.
But like if Galen Erso hadn't, you know, built.
He had to build the button.
Built the button inside the Death Star.
Oof. He had to. Or we're all dead.
So what do they do in season two? Do you guys have any ideas?
I mean, what little I've read, they're covering 5 years and they're going to take it right up to the beginning of Rogue One. Right. So I bet we're gonna meet the guy that Cassian shoots and kills in the very beginning scene of Rogue One. We're gonna meet that dude. I have a feeling we're gonna meet him before he's all messed up and you know has a bum arm and all that. Like I think because if you look at what they did with the movie, they passed that baton right to the beginning of A New Hope. Mm-hmm. I feel like end of season two is gonna pass the baton. Like you can just turn on Rogue One and finish the story. That's what I think they're going to do.
If they can have more Saw Gerrera, I bet they will.
I'd like to go back and talk about the scene with Saw Gerrera when Luthen is trying to convince him to take the job with Anton Krieger and Saw Gerrera is like, nah, son, I'm passing.
Yeah.
And then in the following episode or two episodes later, you know, Luthen goes back to Saw to say, ixnay on the plan A, this is messed up. Like Krieger's burnt. Everything's burnt. and we're going to have to let him die. And that whole sequence where there's two things to me that are notable about that specific sequence. It's the balance of power in the conversation. Like, how do you tell a guy like Saw Gerrera no? Like, stop? How do you stop Saw Gerrera? Like, that scene, Luthen rolls into that scene and Saw Gerrera's like ready to go. Like, yeah, we're doing the thing. These are my terms. He is committed, and his group is fanatical, and they're going to do the thing.
And they play in the next six steps already.
And yeah, he has to walk him down.
Yeah.
And the way that he does that is so brilliant, because he ends up playing on Guerrera's fear of spies inside his own unit, inside his own group, and ends up playing into his fear and getting the gun off of Tubes. And he points the gun at Saw Gerrera and he says, "I'm doing this so you'll listen. So listen." Right? Like, and then he says the same thing that he's been saying to him the whole scene, which is, he's burnt. The whole operation is burnt. If you go in, you're going to die. If you don't go in, Krieger's going to die. And the way they balance that sequence out by saying it's 30 men plus Krieger, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's 30 men plus Krieger. That's the only way that he can walk him down, is by playing into his fear, putting a gun in his face, right? And like being the face of betrayal, which is the only language that Gerrera really understands. And then he's like, "I'm not." He gives him the gun and he's like, "Listen to me.
Yeah.
This is messed up. You know, this is a horrible situation. It's 30 men plus Krieger."
And we saw,
and we Krieger, don't even get to see the scene with Krieger, right? Nuh-uh. Like, you see the ISB celebrating it. Like, there's some shit up on the screen. That's it. You know?
We get a hologram of Krieger.
Thanos killing Nova Corps.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
You know what happened.
Right.
I bet it was crazy.
It was crazy.
We won't see that shit.
They'll put it in a comic book.
Yeah. It's in the annotated, illustrated history of the film.
So, I mean, we've got six whole episodes we could be talking about. Y'all got, what else you got? What else you got?
About the Ander?
Yeah.
I like that show.
I love the way they use doors in that show.
Yeah?
Like the way that they frame characters with doors.
Go on.
Go back and watch the scenes with Mon Mothma and her buddy from grade school. Mm. Not the gangster that she ends up having to make the deal with, but her friend that she calls in to.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Tay.
The one that was like, "My politics might be a little."
Right. And he's pretty, pretty off the empire. Like that whole sequence, it's the two of them having this familiar conversation that's very secret and discreet, and you know, they're revealing truths about their feelings about the empire, and that can expose them and cause them trouble. And they're doing all of that at a dinner party where her husband is like right in the other room, and he's framed in the doorway while they're sitting in, you know, the sunken living room area. They use doors to frame characters, and they specifically put Mon Mothma oftentimes in the center of the frame. Mm-hmm. Like when she ends up meeting with the gangster guy, I don't remember his name, and she's sitting in the center of the sunken living room, and they're on either side of her, and that window is right behind her. There are several other scenes where they'll stick a character in front of a window or a door frame and stick them dead center because they're stuck. They're stuck in whatever's going on in that particular moment. They're stuck. They're trapped on either side of an argument and can't get out of it.
That's a classic office move. They would make them do their little talk where they talk to the camera. If they have a window behind them, it's because they have a future outside of Dunder Mifflin.
There you go.
If there's no window behind them, it's because they're going to be in Dunder Mifflin until they die.
God damn, I just learned something.
That's a fact.
For real.
Star Wars fact. Go on.
I mean, what's his face? Jim went on to become Jack Ryan. I just finished Jack Ryan last night. It was great.
He was also Captain Fantastic in some MCU universe somewhere.
I don't get into Earth 427 or
I don't know.
He
was Reed Richards.
Doctor Strange.
That's what he was for a minute, and then he got killed.
Yeah,
in a cool way. I liked it.
Side rant: if they're not gonna make him fucking Reed Richards,
no, it's gonna be Ryan Gosling
because everybody wanted.
It was fan casting. Yeah,
it was fine, and I enjoyed it. But now you're just pissing me off by not officially casting him. That's a whole other podcast that we don't actually do.
Oh, if you guys want to talk about Wolverine,
no.
I'm so upset. I am a Wolverine.
We'll get there.
Tune in. Check Spotify for I Am a Wolverine. That's my new show where I'm so mad about Wolverine. Go on.
Right. I'm going to be a subscriber to
Spotify.com.
I'm subscribing to that.
Spotify.
I just want to keep spelling it. All right. So we've spent a good time about it. I mean, we could keep going. Do y'all have more thoughts on Andor?
Do you have a thought about Andor?
We're getting another season, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's shut down for the strikes, but assuming that those get resolved, yes, the plan is that
we'll get more.
There are 12 more episodes.
This moment in the universe, we'll get more
from the same team with Tony Gilroy at the helm, and yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be great. I love it. Thank you. Please.
I'm here for it.
Please make that.
Do you want to get into listener questions?
Yes. Absolutely. I have ever wanted.
We do have some listener questions.
Because
we have listeners. Go on.
We have listener.
So the first one is from Scott Turner. Scott wants to know.
We know him. Go on.
What Star Wars is at the top of your rewatch list and why?
Corey Martin, you go first. Corey Hanna, you go first.
Such a good question.
If I'm going to sit down and watch any Star Wars,
yeah,
it's either going to be the original trilogy or any of the Mandalorians.
Okay.
All right.
Those are my go-tos.
If you're going to a Mandalorian, what are you going to?
To start at season one, ep one.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Nice. I think the Mandalorian started amazing. I think the first season of The Mandalorian is like untouchable, and then it's gone downhill since then. But it started off incredible. And any one of those first seasons would be great. Yeah.
I do love it.
So what's your answer?
Like, gun to my head, you can watch one thing right now. It's going to be Return of the Jedi. That's my favorite.
For me, it's either going to be Return of the Jedi or it's going to be Rogue One.
Jedi is hard to beat just from a sentimental.
That was the first one I saw in the theater.
I was going to say, I think that our very specific age, I know for me, Jedi was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Jabba the Hutt, like
Green
Rancor Monster, all that
lightsaber.
Shit.
Yep.
Black suit.
And then I found out, like, oh, there's two other ones that happened before this. Like, I had prequels before there were prequels because I thought Jedi was everything.
Right.
So Jedi will always be, to me, my favorite thing.
Yeah. And I don't hate Ewoks. Listen, if you hate Ewoks, you can kiss my ass. Ewoks are great.
I just want to go on the record and say there are 20-something-year-olds, 30-year-olds that are like, Jar Jar was fine.
I'll tell you right now for 20 minutes if you want that Jar Jar was fine. Yeah. I fucking love Jar Jar. I'll take Jar Jar over R2-D2 ruining every impactful moment in the whole whatever. Thank you.
He fired up.
Thank you.
All right. So next question is from Lucas Turner. Shout out, Lucas. What's up?
What up, Lucas?
What is Mace Windu's favorite fruit? That's a good question.
I feel like is this a trick question? Is there a correct answer for Waste Mindu's
favorite fruit? What did you say? Waste Mindu?
Waste Mindu's favorite fruit? His name is Mace.
I know it's on his lightsaber hilt.
A fruit?
Grapes? Fruit of the Loom?
His lightsaber hilt's the one that says bad motherfucker.
It's purple.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Like, what's that? Yeah.
I'm going to say like, an orange. Like do they have oranges?
No, like there's like the Star Wars mango fruit that I'm trying to think of.
From there's a whole episode based around that shit in Rebels.
Yes, that's what I think. Whatever that fruit is called, I think that's Mace Windu's favorite fruit.
Remember when they were having their sexy time dinner and in Attack of the Clones and he was like, I can make a fruit float. And then he floated it and he cut it and then he sent the fruit back to her and he was like, I hate sand. And she was like, I love mangoes. And then they fell in love.
And he was like, but that was a pear.
That's the most important fruit.
Is it forbidden fruit?
Yeah.
Lucas, you're going to have to follow up with us and let us know what the correct answer is.
I think there's an answer.
I think there's an answer.
We're missing it.
I think there's an answer.
I'm sorry.
Lucas probably knows more about the Star Wars.
There are a lot of people that know more about Star Wars.
I'm afraid that it's based on a pun.
I mean.
And we're not getting it.
Well.
We'll figure it out.
That's shame on me.
Mace? Is that his name? Mace Windu?
No, you called him Mace Windu.
That's the name of his clone survives and
has a mustache.
He has a jaunty mustache. He looks just like John Waters, and he's the star of a program coming to Disney Plus this fall.
The third question is from,
go on with the third. I'm sorry,
Jamie Hanna, and she says, "How dare you?" Do you,
and I'm glad that she asked this question because, yeah, how dare you? She's right.
She is right. We ask this question of each other often in our house. Do you get the reference?
I'd like to ask a question about our relationship.
How dare you? it is a reference to The Office when Ryan comes back after he's been named to a position in corporate. And he walks in the conference room. He's like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Does anybody have any questions? And Kelly Kapoor goes, yeah, I have a question. How dare you? we ask that of each other often. I don't know. How dare I? What is my answer supposed to be? Because I do what I want. I think the answer might be I do what I want.
That might be the correct answer.
I think it's the only one. You got to own it.
I think that might be the answer, babe, is I do what I want.
I think as a group, we have decided. So, yes,
that is the answer. I only say that because Corey Martin says I do what I want.
I do what I want. And that's a fact.
Last question we have.
Go on.
Oh, hang on. I got to reactivate my phone. This motherfucker went to sleep. Last question is from James Torres, a.k.a. Coupon, a.k.a. Shoestring. What's up, James Torres?
I know him. He has a beard. Go on.
He does.
How many days do you think you could drink blue milk for every meal before you get tired of it? I'm going to answer this one.
Go.
That's an amazing question.
As a professional milk drinker, all day, every day, son. Because I'd be drinking milk.
Nice. I have a different answer.
Go.
I have a different answer. I, in my recent stretch of handicappedness, was drinking a lot. I was having a lot of breakfast because I was at home all day doing nothing. And so I would have a lot of breakfast cereals and vanilla unsweetened almond milk. That's where I landed. That's my favorite.
That's not milk, son.
And I could have that all the time and it's good for me. And it's bad for the environment. I think that it's killing California and the bees or something. But unsweetened vanilla almond milk. That's where I landed. That's good.
It's not milk.
It's my favorite.
Can I make a white Russian with the blue milk?
Sure.
I don't know.
I say you can because it's our rules.
I mean, does it taste like milk?
I bet you could try real hard. I don't know how the mixing. I don't know about the like actual like the chemical like
if the blue milk is going to mix with Kahlua and vodka.
Yeah, or is it going to curdle? Is it going to be like chunked up?
The vodka could curdle. It could turn it into like cottage cheese.
Yeah, it could.
Just like a slurry of blue curds.
It could.
I'm gonna go. No, I'm not drinking any. I'm like, I'm not even gonna make it a day. I'm not drinking it.
I win.
You win.
I win the Star War.
I love these questions, though.
I do. I enjoy this.
You do win the Star War.
I win the Star War. So, I mean, unless you guys have other thoughts about Andor, I think we can call this one a wrap.
I'm just super excited about season 2. I hope that they get the strike situation resolved and that the WGA and SAG-AFTRA get what they're wanting. I think it's reasonable, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this team has to offer.
Okay. Thank you. Well said. Is it time for me to take over?
Yes, I'm taking over
this episode. I'm ponying this. It was my fault that we have been gone for like 6 months. And while we were gone, both of my friends here had birthdays. And we were not allowed to party on the podcast with birthdays.
So goodness.
So, Jim, there's a birthday present. And Corey, this is a birthday present.
Thank you. Is that a present for you?
And this is a present just so I wouldn't feel left out. I got myself a present.
He got himself some blue milk. Oh,
yeah. But we all have presents, so go ahead and tear them open.
Are we opening these on the air?
And make noise so the mics can hear you. Not too much. It's...
Hell yeah, dude.
These aren't fancy. They're not.
I love it.
This didn't break the bank.
That's awesome.
But I love you, fellas. And so... James, you got you a Black Series Gin Urso.
I like Gin Urso.
I got the Moff Gideon, bitch.
You got Moff Gideon, who is...
The throwback.
So good. I love that man. I love that actor. I love that character. I hope that... Is he dead? I don't know. Maybe he got killed. We don't know.
Talk about that because I got feelings about it.
We don't even know because we're not even talking about the show. It's a whole different show. But...
Thank you, Corey Martin.
But happy birthday to the both of you. I got myself... A little Ahsoka Tano.
Yes.
So, we're going forward in the future. We're partying.
I'm going to keep this in my podcast bag.
Please keep this in your podcast bag.
But I'm going to take him out of the package and he'll just sit on the table with us.
But what I have a proposal for the show and for us as men is that we right now... We've already had a couple of drinks, but I would like to have some more. I would like to talk to you about Star Wars.
And feelings.
And whatever comes up, comes up. I would like to record this. We don't have anywhere to be for a couple of hours. So to the people listening at home, I just want to say, if you've ever... You're in two camps. Either you know Star Wars people and you've been drunk and you've sat around and talked about Star Wars for 2 hours. If you're that person, then stay tuned.
We'll have some mini episodes coming soon.
Because we're about
to... We're about to just talk
about Star Wars for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And if you've never been in that conversation and you're like, what's it like for just like three assholes to sit around and talk about Star Wars?
Stay tuned.
We're going to bring that to you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to us.
So happy birthday, fellas.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Star Wars.
And everybody stay tuned.
We'll see y'all next time.
Yes.